Yo, what up? It's Moon from Greek Fire, and you're listening to the Blues Hockey Podcast.
Hockey Podcast, your host Jason along with Chris.
Yo.
So a couple weeks with Chris just scheduling things, and we had a couple interviews we did, so it was nice to knock a couple interviews out for our big 200-201 shows. So thanks to Steve Ewing and Dan Walsh for being on the show. Enjoyed those greatly. But with those shows, now we wind up having a little gap of stuff, and of course everything happens.
Everything.
So we did get to talk about the Buchnevich trade last time, and we just barely got that in before we recorded, which was great. And then, of course, we had a little, me and Chris watched a draft together, and, you know, that was kind of, okay.
It was really fine.
There's really nothing. It was one of those where we were waiting for the ball to drop, and nothing really happened. Right now, we're recording about 8 o'clock on August 1st, and no Vladimir Tarasenko news to report. So,
yeah, I don't know, man.
It seems I'm guessing the Islanders got a lot of cap room. That's the big rumor right now, but we'll see.
Yeah. I just, you know, it seems like there are two divided camps right now when you talk about Tarasenko and the Blues. And there are people who think that the trade has to happen before the season starts. And then there's the people who think that he at least starts the season as a St. Louis Blue to try to raise his value. And I don't know, man, like I can make an argument for and against. I guess it all depends on how bad do you believe this relationship is.
And yeah, it's a lot of things going on.
There's a lot of hearsay right now. You know, there's been no official comment in regards to the allegations that Tarasenko and his agent have put forward. There's been no official response to that. All Armstrong has basically said is, we're trying to facilitate a trade, but we're not going to make a trade that doesn't benefit us as well as the player. And that, as he should, you know, as he should. But I do think at some point you're going to reach critical mass. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm not sure I want a player like Vladimir Tarasenko who doesn't want to be on this team in that locker room to start the year. Cause this is going to be, as we get into everything that's happened in the past week, a very, very important and critical year for what this team becomes moving forward.
Yeah. It's a interesting dynamic that could happen. Mm-hmm. Because you basically bring in Pavel Buchnevich, is people are like, oh, that's your Jaden Schwartz before obviously the movie that happened, which we'll talk about, but that's your Schwartz replacement. And actually, if you look at the kind of the fancy stats and the analytics of it, he plays the right side. That's the Tarasenko replacement.
At 100% it is. 100% it is.
And so having somebody like Vladimir Tarasenko around, you're hoping to trade and get somewhat a very useful player. Like, I think the rumor that's going around is Anthony Beauvillier, and, you know, maybe a pick on top of that, which I think wouldn't be an awful deal. I know the Blues might want to wind up flipping because their left side is still a little weak, even after some free agent signing. Beauvillier would help that a lot,
right?
But I think their eye is still on Makhachuk. So we'll see what happens.
So to that end, and I don't remember where I read or saw this, and you may have more information. I had heard somewhere that Tarasenko had come back to the team and offered more possibilities and locations that he would go to, basically opened it up and said, aside from like these five cellar dwellers, I'll take the trade to these teams.
Yeah. As we know, like JR has been doing a lot of articles, which the one, you know, me and Chris talked about the one where he teased it at like 11 o'clock at night, where I got news up those first day of free agency. It was like that Wednesday. Yeah. And I was, you know, up, and Chris is texting me, and I was like, oh, it looks like there's going to be some news on Tarasenko, like super late. So yeah. I thought it was going to be like, oh, he's going to accept a trade, or he's waived his, you know, no trade clause, blah, blah. No, it was just like, he's mad he hasn't been traded yet. And it's like,
I'm sure he is.
But duh. Yeah. And he basically, and the only thing the article really said is that he's willing, he's opened up more to virtually anywhere. It said virtually anywhere. So obviously, yeah.
I mean, he ain't going to Buffalo.
Buffalo, Ottawa, maybe any, maybe a couple of places in Canada. Who knows? But I don't know. So who knows what's going on right now? No movement there. But the Blues did have a bunch of moves that bring, they're trying to shore up their minor league system. They got, so they drafted, they kept their first round pick.
Yep.
Made a lot of draft selections. They got, the grades I've seen is between a C minus and a B. So depending on who you look it up, the Blues had an okay draft. I think they're happy with the, it's mixed reactions on the top pick. And then this, our third round pick, a lot of people are pretty excited about, since he was at one time predicted being the top 15 early on. And he, for some reason, he fell that, even that he was still in the 30s and he still fell to number 71 to the Blues.
You know, I think you made the comment last podcast, and it's true, is that, you know, this year, the draft, because of COVID and scouts not really being able to scout current players coming out, it's kind of a shot in the dark when you got outside of the top 15 prospects. So there could be a lot of sleepers in this. There could be a lot of duds in this. No one really knows. I think that the one thing we can all agree on is, thank God we're not the Montreal Canadiens, who drafted the dude who asked not to be drafted because he got into a problem with sexual, not assault allegations, but basically was with a girl and took videos and then those
shared
videos,
it with teammates.
Which,
not cool.
And even, you know, at this point now we're what, a week after the draft, the team has come out and said, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have drafted him.
But there, they said, we're going to help him grow. And that's why we drafted him. Not because, oh, he's a good player. And we decided, like, no, we want to make sure he grows and this and this and this. And that's where I had an issue with it, where it's like, there is a rumor that teams are going to draft him in the second round, since he was supposed to be a high, not high, but mid first round talent or so.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we swept in and just did it because we want to help him grow. He's not coming to our rookie, our training camp or rookie camp this year, basically, is quote unquote punishment. But I don't know. We'll see how it is. The kid said the right things in the interview the next day when people said stuff, how he, you know, was apologetic and stuff. So I don't know. Everything's about second chances, I guess. So
I mean, look, I'm sure we've all done our fair share of dumb crap when we were late teenagers. I know I have and did. You know,
like,
I know
it's a little more than just like, oh, I egged a car.
True. And that's what I'm getting at, is like, we've all done dumb stuff. This is like next level stuff, just because of the technology that's around and there's other people involved and you're talking about other people's lives. The thing that I thought was interesting was, as I was driving Friday, Gary Bettman was on NHL radio and they asked him specifically about this guy and the Canadians and the situation. And he said that even come next year, if I'm talking the 22-23 season, even at that season, if the Canadians decide they want to bring him in, the NHL on a corporate level is going to sit with this kid, watch very closely what happens between now and then to decide, is this guy ready to handle life in the NHL? And, you know, has he done the steps necessary to not only try to rectify what has happened, but truly understand what he did and be remorseful for it?
Yeah, so
we'll see. I mean, they're saying all parties are saying the right things.
Yeah, as of right now. So that's kind of something to keep an eye on in the, I think, coming seasons, I think, for sure, to see how this kid pans out and if it was worth the, I say hassle, but worth the, you know, up, basically the S-storm that went up when with that pick.
I mean, when we watched it live and they made that pick and the ESPN crew was just silent for about 20 seconds. Yeah, like it was, no one really knew how to respond and react because no one saw it coming. Nobody. Like, I think it was kind of, everyone was like, all right, no one's going to draft him. Not because he said, don't draft me, but because no one wants to take that on right now.
Yeah, it's, so that's kind of
comes Montreal.
Yeah, and Montreal just decides to do that. So,
yep.
Okay, so draft happens. We'll talk about the Blues part of it. So Blues made no moves, mind you, but they did make a bunch of draft picks. So the first one is Zach Bolduc. So a kid that's actually same hometown as fan favorite David Perron. So,
oh, nice.
So interesting. So Bolduc was 17th overall pick, but he was also ranked 17th among NHL, among North American skaters. So with you mix in the European skaters, he's in the 20s, but still pretty good. I think pretty good draft for the Blues. Picked him. He plays in the Quebec Junior Majors. He was the rookie of the year, led all rookies for 30 goals, 52 points. That was the first, as in 2019-20 during COVID season. He had a little bit of injuries and some other and different stoppages. He did 29 points, 10 goals, 19 assists in 27 games. So plays center right wing, skates pretty good. So the comparison from the ESPN guys was Sam Reinhart or Sean Monahan. So not two pretty decent players, I think.
Either one of those I'd be happy with if they were on the Blues right now.
Yeah. So the Blues, that was first round. So Blues didn't have a second rounder. They lost that in the Ryan O'Reilly trade. So that was just fine here. So they went all the way to round three. So they basically traded their 81 and 177 picks to the Sharks to move up here. And they drafted Simon Robertson. And this kid was supposed to go in the top 15 because they said he has literally one of the best shot releases in the class. So it's pretty great that the Blues moved up and got this kid, and they just need talent in the system right now. Probably play over in Sweden again. So it plays for, I'm going to try this. You ready?
Go for
it. The Skellefteå AIK in the Sweden's J20 league.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Then moved to the top league where he had one goal, one assist in 22 appearances. But that's an 18-year-old playing with a bunch of, you know, basically the top league. So, but a hockey writer said it's, you know, one of the best shot releases, could be a top 15 talent. And we got him at number 61. So not bad overall there. And then they moved on to the fifth round. They got Tyson Galloway, defenseman, 6'4", 214 pound, played for Calgary Hitmen. So me and Chris both have a Calgary Hitmen.
Nice. Jersey.
So we're okay with that pick. So it moves all the way to the round seven. So the Blues had a couple of trades, obviously, throughout the years and lost some picks. So they take Ivan Forbayanov. We'll go with that. Mm-hmm. Out of Russia, 50 points, 21 goals, 29 assists in 52 games for a right winger. So long-term project pick there. If he comes over, we'll see. But somebody to pick up just in case. So okay draft, I think, overall, but the Blues, you know, do their thing. So they qualified their RFAs if they sign them. Let's see, other Blues news overall. So let's see what we got next.
The only comment that I would make on the draft is, and it's something we joked about, is, and it's nothing against our first round pick, but I think we missed out by one pick on the name of the draft. And that was right after us, the Winnipeg Jets selected Chaz Lucius.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, man, I want a Chaz Lucius jersey.
Yeah, that
is
great.
A great name. That is a pro wrestler name.
Yeah, that's a great hockey name. So we would have been okay with that.
Yeah.
But no luck there in the Blues. No other trades happen during the draft, right after the draft. So next thing to look forward to is free agency. So free agency is getting ready to start. We qualified all our RFAs, which that's, you know, neither here nor there. So right. Blues, you know, weren't in the rumor for anybody, which is
good. They were in the rumor for Landeskog.
Well, if he made it. So, of course, right before the night before, Landeskog signs a big deal with the stay in Colorado, 8 years, $7 million per year, $56 million. So he stays.
That had some ripple effects.
Yeah. He got a no move clause out of it. And so he's set, which I don't think he ever wanted to go. And it was just who was playing chicken first, basically.
Sure.
But if he made it, hell, who knows? The Blues could have made a move, but they did get the guy they traded for signed very quickly. Pavel Buchnevich gets signed by the Blues to, I think, a very good deal. 4 year, $23.2 million. So a little bit under $6 million a year, about 5.8. I think it's hell of a trade. The trade, it was great. The signing is great. You get a guy in the prime of his career making under $6 million who's just starting to hit his stride and play a two-way defensive game and has hit is pretty much an analytics darling last year, playing both ways. He didn't play, he played like penalty kill very sparingly, but improved his two-way game greatly. So what do you think about the signing?
I think it's fantastic. I think that the length of the contract, the money of the contract, I think that it's team friendly, but you're still giving him a very, very good wage. You know, again, when we talked about this on the last podcast, Doug Armstrong finds ways to get players in and signed to contracts that help the team stay under cap with room to make moves when moves need to be made. And this is another one. You know, like, could Buchnevich probably have asked and gotten more? Probably. But I think that, you know, this shows that he's also buying into what's happening in St. Louis and wanting, you know, to be part of a team that's a championship caliber team. That window is still open. It's a very different looking window this week than it was last week, but it's still open.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. So great signing there. And we got some minor signings here. So out of the RFAs too, which I didn't mention. So there's two players they didn't qualify. So they went to UFAs, and that would be Eric Foley, which that's the kid that we got in the Paul Stastny trade. And then he, you know, unfortunately got a really bad concussion months later at the Traverse City tournament. And just has never skated since.
Yeah.
So that really is a feel for that kid. Tough. So yeah, being literally just starting your career and it's over. So, Blues didn't qualify him, and they also didn't qualify Evan Fitzpatrick, which is a goalie who bounced between ECHL and AHL last year. I think with the Blues having, you know, Colton Ellis coming aboard pretty soon, who is setting records, and Joel Hoffer, who they really, really like, I think they pretty much were okay with not having, you know, Evan Fitzpatrick around. So, not surprising there, but they did bring in four guys total. So, first off, they brought back Nathan Walker. A two-year, two-way deal. So not surprising there. He was up and down with the team. Seems to be kind of played your perfect. Well. Yeah, kind of your perfect guy that could come in, play on the fourth line. If you need him for a pinch, maybe he can move up and play a little bit with the top line just because, and then go back down. And then, you know, I'm not saying he's a long-term solution at anything, but if you need him for a couple of games, you can move up to the third and fourth line and not look out of place.
You got it.
So we're fine with that. Three players were assigned to the Springfield Thunderbirds. That'd be Matthew Pekka, not Michael Pekka. So I saw his name and I was like, wow, that's awesome. But no, it's Matthew Pekka.
Right.
So Nathan Todd, both forwards, and a goalie, Charlie Lindgren, who was in the Montreal Canadiens organization for quite some time. He was basically the backup before they brought in Jake Allen last year. So the Blues, he'll be the guy, the third stringer, possibly fourth, depending on how they view Hoffer next year, I think. So let's get into every free agent signing that happened in the NHL. So let's start at the top. Ready? No, I'm just, we're gonna hit the highlights and the surprises, and we're going to talk about the former Blues who signed places.
Mm-hmm.
But if we went to every single one, it would be insane. So a couple that I want to knock out real quick. It was a trade first. Marc-Andre Fleury goes to the Chicago Blackhawks for nothing.
Nothing. Take
his contract because Vegas was over and they need to sign guys. They just signed Martinez to a contract, so they need to bring for $5 million. So they needed to bring them underneath the cap. And the crazy part about this whole story for Marc-Andre Fleury seems like a dude who he finally wins the Vezina, won multiple Stanley Cups. Seems like a very good teammate, and he basically is probably a Hall of Famer at the end of the day. And he's been crapped on by multiple organizations.
He's the Rodney Dangerfield of hockey. He gets no respect.
And none. So apparently he found out about the trade via Twitter.
That's honest to God unacceptable. Vegas is the darling of the NHL because, you know, up until next season when the Kraken especially start playing, they're the new team. They've had success. It's a sexy city. But I'll tell you what, man, if stories like this keep coming out about how they're mismanaging their players and players are finding out about trades through social media, and they've already got a bit of a reputation for bringing players in, chewing them up, and spitting them out, players aren't going to want to go there. no matter how cool that city is
or how, and much how money
successful they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Like, I'll tell you right now, if I was a pro athlete and I heard that, oh, yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury, a two-time Stanley Cup winner and reigning Vezina Trophy winner, found out via Twitter that he was traded to the Chicago Blackhawks, that would give me long pause about signing the contract with that team.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And on top of that, let's just keep it on Vegas real quick, and he is a former Blue. And I was surprised out of nowhere yesterday, Ryan Reeves was dealt to the New York Rangers, as I like to call the Tom Wilson effect.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. 100%. That dude, they made that trade for one reason, and it is not unlike why Pittsburgh traded for him back in the day. Pittsburgh yep. traded for him because they wanted him to protect Sidney Crosby. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. By all accounts, Crosby loved him. I don't know if he just got crazy money offered to him from Vegas or what, but he's in New York for one reason and one reason only, and that's to put the hurting on Tom Wilson the next time those teams play, which, by the way, is game one of the season.
Yep. So, the Blue schedule is out, and it's really we can't do the TV schedule or anything like that, so I'm going to wait until the TV schedule is out. And I'm kind of interested in how the TV, quote-unquote, TV schedule is.
Right.
There's rumors that the Bally's station, you know, Fox Sports Midwest, whatever you want to call it,
right,
is supposedly having their own streaming network coming in the fall.
Interesting.
It's been a rumor for a while, which is why they haven't signed any of those contracts, meaning that's only why you can watch the game in a couple of places. So I'm kind of interested to see how that turns out too. So we'll talk about those two. And the big one that, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
So we pretty much knew this was happening during the expansion draft, that Seattle and Jane Schwartz were talking, and they were right. rumored to be the furthest along of any free agent they talked. Apparently they talked to Landeskog. They talked to a couple other free agents, which we can, you know, obviously they signed Alexiak and they signed Adam Larson too. So obviously they talked to those guys, but they didn't sign Jane Schwartz. And then they took Vince Dunn. And then it was pretty much heard going into free agency, Jane Schwartz was to Seattle. So he winds up going to Seattle for a 5-year, $27.5 million contract. So 5.5 a year to go to Seattle.
Yep.
Mind you, not even mad at Jaden Schwartz for going, because there's a history behind it, which he talked about on NHL radio. And it was when his sister was sick, that was one of the cities where she got treatment, and he used to walk around the city, and it held a lot of memories there. Yep. And with them showing interest, I think that city holds a special place. And plus, with his father passing, he must be close to the family, and being in Seattle, compared to St. Louis.
I get it.
I think St. Louis didn't have a chance for more reasons than just money this time.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. I mean, look, I think that Seattle probably offered him more money than the Blues were going to anyway.
True.
When you add in all of these other tertiary reasons why, it makes all the sense in the world. And I don't fault the guy. Like, it would have been nice to keep him. But again, we always like to romanticize the past when players are gone. Let's not forget that this is a guy who nearly every season spent a good portion of the season on the injured list. You know, he was always out for a good 10 to 20 games a year. And when he was healthy, was streaky. When he's hot, he's a pistol.
He's the Blues one of the best players, yeah.
The Blues don't win the Stanley Cup in 2019 without Jane Schwartz on that roster in the playoffs. Period. They don't. The other side of that is, when he's cold, he's invisible. So I don't begrudge the guy. I don't. I don't know if this is the point that you're going to get to and ask me my opinion on. There's a lot of people in St. Louis who feel like Jaden did the Blues dirty by not signing the deal until the free agency period was opened, because it allowed Seattle to take somebody else from the Blues roster that wasn't Jaden Schwartz.
Yeah, that's my point. I was very, he's a conspiracy theorist to me, was like, come on, man. Nothing's come out that he did on purpose. So part of me seems like, maybe they weren't 100% on the contract yet, and then, you know, free agency was right around the corner and they kind of ironed the stuff out and they upped their money or who knows, gave them the no move clause, whatever. Who knows? That could have happened.
I mean,
but it, and it was just very fishy, you know, it's just one of those things where you're just like, huh.
Here's my point. Or here's my point of view of said situation. If I'm talking to go into a new place and I know that I have the option to help make this team better by doing something else or delaying my move and letting this team get someone, get another piece, I'd be dumb not to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I forget what we said this about off air between you and I. And it's one of my favorite lines in movie history. And it's from the movie Jerry Maguire. And I use it a lot in work, but it applies to sports as well. And that is, it ain't show friends, it's show business. And sports falls into that. And James Schwartz owes the Blues nothing. Nothing. He was paid to do a job. He did that job. The contract was done. Now, you could argue, I guess, that I wouldn't call it tampering, but maybe a bit of collusion between the Kraken and Schwartz, going, hey, you know, let's keep that we have this deal done quiet until after the expansion draft, because that way, you know, you're going to be a UFA. We know you're on the unprotected list, but we can go grab Vince Dunn. Whether they keep Dunn or whether they flip him for something else, it's also going to benefit the Kraken, and they get Jaden Schwartz too. So it sucks, and I get why Blues fans would be upset about that, but at the same time, it's a very shrewd and calculated move by both the Seattle Kraken and Jaden Schwartz, if in fact that's what happened. And you're right. It could have just been that they did not legitimately have the deal in place until the day they signed it or until it started to break out. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like I said, it's conspiracy. And even JR wrote an article on and asking Bill Daly about it. And they pretty much said, like, well, you don't see anything, nothing wrong with it, and just move on. There was a ton of
There's not.
Yeah. There's a ton of movement this day. Before we get into the next Blues signing, I just wanted to bring this up as in how much money was spent.
A lot.
So day one, there was a total of 163 signings.
Yeah.
Across the NHL. That
was a busy day.
Mind you, 163 signings and one, technically one by the Blues. It's but technically Buchnevitz isn't counted in it because I looked it up.
Right.
But total amount of dollars, $785.2 million was given out.
Oof.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Almost $1 billion total. Next day, 133 million. Day two, 28 mil. Day four, 37. And then today, 3 mil. So inching close to that $1 billion mark, which is crazy. So the guy who got the largest contract out of that was, not surprisingly, Dougie Hamilton. He goes from Carolina to, surprisingly, New Jersey. So they have a pair of $9 million defensemen there, and PK Subban and Dougie Hamilton now. Subban will probably move, probably won't be re-signed once the deal's over. Interesting there. Zach Hyman goes to Edmonton. That was pretty much rumored for a while. The one that's surprising here, the top goalie. We thought Colorado had Grubauer locked up here.
Yeah.
He did not. He wound up signing with Seattle for almost over 35 mil for 6 years. But Colorado filled their vacancy by having to trade a decent prospect, a first rounder to Phoenix, or excuse me, Arizona, for Darcy Kemper. So they did wind up getting their guy, but
dude, let's be real.
Had to give up stuff. Yeah.
That's a big price tag for Darcy Kemper.
And he's on my fantasy team, man. Don't get me wrong. I really like him, but at the time, if he gets injured a lot too. So if not, they might be screwed. Let's see. Philip Deneau got a ton of money to go to the LA Kings for being a guy who never even reached $20 million. I'm showing 20 goals, 5.5 million a year for 6 years.
Yeah,
the one that we and you talked about, and we were like, crap, we are getting nobody, was Blake Coleman. Goes from Tampa Bay to Calgary, a guy that we both really liked, for nearly $5 million a year, 4.9 over 6 years.
So much money for Blake Coleman. And no knock on Blake Coleman, but holy cow.
I like him, but it's a – and he's 29 already. So that's like you're giving the guy money until he's 35, 36, which is crazy. So the one – so day one's going along. We knew the Blues were really going to sign anybody. Day two is kind of coming around, and you're waiting to hear, and they're hearing that rumblings there. Mike Hoffman and the Blues are getting closer and still talking. And then out of nowhere, it says Mike Hoffman has been signed by the Montreal Canadiens, which was the other team that he lost out to last year. The Canadiens were apparently hot on him last year, but didn't go there. He went to the Blues instead. So he signs a 3-year, $4.5 million deal, which all of us were like, huh, that's not bad. Only a $500,000 raise.
Yep.
But he's a little older, 32. I don't know. And that had it. And you, what would you go say what your thoughts were about the Mike Hoffman not signing with the Blues?
To me, it's one of two things. Either number one, he's the new Marian Hossa and he's chasing cups. You know, he came to St. Louis on a 1-year deal, 2 years after winning the cup on a team that was really, really good up until the bubble. And, you know, the bubble was a crapshoot anyway. And now he's chasing the team that just lost in the Stanley Cup finals, like Hossa was doing when he jumped from, you know, Pittsburgh to Detroit to Chicago and then finally got his cup. Mm-hmm. My second thought, and the one that I think is probably more accurate, is he wasn't coming back here. Like, he was just looking for anyone else to offer him a deal. Because I can't imagine that Doug Armstrong did not at least match that deal.
Yeah, that's I thought it was not that bad.
Like, I can't imagine that if Mike Hoffman's agent went back to Doug Armstrong and said, hey, Doug, we have a deal on the table for Montreal for 3 years at 4.5, that Doug Armstrong wouldn't have immediately said, we'll match it. So I don't think he wanted to come back. I think that he and Chief just did not get along. And and I think that he was looking for anywhere else that was going to give him a decent amount of money, and he got the one team. I think he would have gone to Buffalo if Buffalo had offered him. I think I just think that as much as we all wanted it to work, and it started to work at the end, it's a bummer. But it doesn't shock me that he's not here, especially when you see the money that he signed for, because like you said, it's only $500,000 a year more than the Blues were paying him last year. There's no way, with as much as they lost the day before, that they would not have tried to retain him for an extra $500,000 a year. There's no way.
Yeah. So I was like surprised. And then the other one, the Blues lost out on, when the Blues, we talked about, need to definitely do something about the defense.
Yeah,
and just defensemen were falling off the board quick. The one that I thought we really had a chance on is Ryan Suter, but for 36-year-old, he got a 4-year deal from Dallas for $3.6 per year. I'm like happy that Blues didn't go that route. They still haven't really addressed the defense, which that's another issue. But they definitely need to do something. And finally, the next day, we're kind of waiting to see anything happens, and then out of nowhere. It's kind of a tweet like, Brandon Saad was like out there and he's still considering New Jersey and New York Islanders, and St. Louis is still in the running as well. So I think we even sent a text to each other like, oh great, another guy we're going to lose out on.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, we didn't. He signed a 5-year, $22.5 million deal. So basically, you're getting him for about $1 million less a year than Jaden Schwartz.
Right.
So to me, this is your Jaden Schwartz replacement.
100% is your Jaden Schwartz replacement.
Yeah, so $1 million less for this, and the same amount of years, and a year or so younger. So yeah. And a guy with two cups, plays, gets to the front of the net. You know, doesn't really do too
knows much the division.
Knows the division, doesn't play on the PK at all, but plays two ways at least, goes hard to the net, has a pretty decent shot, knows the division is a really good thing. So I think overall, 5 years, I would have been happy with a 4-year, but 5 years is fine. He gets a full no trade for 4 of the 5 years and then a limited one in the last year. So overall, not a bad signing, right?
No, it's not a bad signing. You know, I have come to really, really like this signing.
Yeah, Chris was it's hard to read by text when we were texting about this, because it seemed like you were very disappointed by this signing.
I wasn't disappointed by the signing. I'm glad. Trust me, I'm glad they got him. I am. What was my problem that day was that I never, honest to God, thought that this team, 2 years removed from winning the Stanley Cup, would be in a situation where we were sitting around praying that Brandon Saad came to St. Louis. You know, like that, oh my God, we need to get Brandon Saad. And that's just kind of like the realization of like, damn, man, this team is different. I don't know. I mean, it could be better. It could be. I don't know.
Yeah, way different. We'll say that much.
And I think what you just said frames it perfectly. And that's where, over this last week, I have gotten to and I understand is like, we have replaced, much like last year with the Torrey Krug coming in for Petro. I think in both the case of losing Jaden Schwartz and the pending loss of Vladimir Tarasenko, we have replaced those players in this lineup as best we possibly could. And
oh yeah, I definitely for sure.
In the case of Buchnevich to Tarasenko, I am not saying that Pavel Buchnevich is as good as Vladimir Tarasenko at Tarasenko's prime, but I would say that he's as good as Tarasenko, if not better, currently.
Yeah, I would say for sure. I think I would say the Blues have slowly, and if you notice too, has gotten younger too.
Yes.
And you've gotten cycle guys. I like, so nothing wrong with Bozak, but Bozak was, you know, kind of the elder statesman, but you kind of got him, you know.
And he could still come back.
It's still a good chance. He's the only one that's kind of hanging out there. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Blues have something maybe in the works, because they have offered him a deal is what's been out there, but who knows what's going to happen. The Blues had a bunch of RFAs out there, so they slowly getting, you know, our cap room's running out. So them trying to trade Tarasenko would really help with that.
Yep.
Definitely if they're trying to figure out that, because they need another left winger at the end of the day. You have Saad, I think, is the perfect number two, like second line, you know, left winger, but you need that number one left winger still to bring in. I think Saad slots in perfectly. I mean, perfectly with, he's that left winger I've been waiting for on the Ryan O'Reilly, David Perron line that make that line complete. Now I think that it makes that line a great number two line, and your number one line is going to be Shen and Buchnevich. And then whoever they get on the left wing, if it's Anthony Beauvillier or if it's, you know, cross our fingers, somebody like Matthew Tkachuk over there. If it winds up being something like Matthew Tkachuk, like, man, the defense needs work, but you got that offense set up pretty well for the next couple of years if that winds up happening.
I agree.
They do have some RFAs out there, so obviously they qualified, all of them, which we talked about already. So Zach Sanford applied for the arbitration today because, you know, no contract was reached yet. So did Vince Dunn. But apparently Vince Dunn, they might get traded still. Who knows? That's still out there. But the Blues are doing work on their RFAs. They signed Ivan Barbashev to a two-year deal for $4.5 million, total $2.25 million for you math wizards out there. So not too bad, right? Like, I think it's somebody that
– No, I think that's fine.
He's another one of those guys that can – you know, he can move up. But he was – for a while there, he was doing pretty good until he got hurt on the O'Reilly line.
He's a player that I think that you can plug in. He's never going to be flashy, but he has the skill and the ability to play up and down that lineup. He's never going to be, I think, a consistent top six guy, but he can fill in for a handful of games in the top six role while someone is hurt.
And if he winds up, so let's just say they wind up getting somebody for the top left wing spot, and that third one, that third line left winger is hanging out there. Let's say they decide to keep Shen at center during the my little scenario here. He wouldn't be an awful third line left winger.
No.
If you put it would be him, Tom, in my scenario, I'd have him, Thomas, and Kyrou as your third line.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad third line at all, in my opinion. And then you work on your fourth line, which, I mean, you know, you have Sundqvist, and then Clifford and whoever on that line. So that's, you just have to figure that out. But
so where, so are you slotting Thomas in as a third line center?
Until he can show me on a consistent basis that he can handle the top six role, I, for now, I have to work his way in.
Yeah.
And Shen, you know, as much as I think he's a better center than left winger, but he will play both, which is great. I just don't want to see, you know, who knows, in other scenarios I've seen people bring up is that Thomas is your, you know, top six center with Shen on the left, Buchnevich on the right.
And that's what I was going to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, that's what I've heard on some people bring up.
I mean, I feel like the last 2 years we've said this is the make or break season for Robbie Tommy. But I really think, like, dude, this is it. Like, you've got to take the step and not hurt yourself while you're taking it, and not take that step into the corner and turn over the puck.
Yeah. Don't spin and then look for a pass. Like, keep going forward.
Yes. And I think at some point, the only way he's going to take that step is to give him the opportunity to fail or succeed with the big boys. You know, he's not going to be able to take that step with Jordan Kyrou. And that's not a knock on Jordan Kyrou.
It was improved.
Right. You know. He was fantastic last year. But again, like, I think he needs to get time with the Braden Shens and, you know, the Buchneviches and any of those top six guys to figure out, can this guy hang, or is he just what he is? You know, and the other guy that I think we need to talk about, and you and I and Bond talked about this over text, is, like, I think one thing is very clear right now when you look at this team as we sit tonight. If Klim Kostin can't make it into this lineup for opening night, then I think it's time to stop talking about Klim Kostin being a St. Louis Blue.
Oh, I agree. I think it's, if you can't crack this lineup, and people can say what they want about the coaching and about the development of our prospects and stuff, but he had time in the AHL. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, our AHL situation hasn't been fantastic. I'll 100% say that. But
I get it.
But the same time,
dude just won a championship in the KHL.
So to me, I think we should be talking about that he should be a legit contributor. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be a Kirill Kaprizov and come in and, like, mind you, Kaprizov was also 3 years older.
Right.
Almost 4 years older now than what Klim Kostin is.
Right. But so, we've also been talking about Klim Kostin for
4 years.
5 years.
Yeah, since he was 18 when we got him. So three or 4 years. So, yeah, it's time for, like, once again, a lot of make or breaks here. And it's, if, you know, you're hoping you hit on Robert Thomas, who you're hoping to sign as RFA. You know, Jordan Kyrou seemed to be taking, I think, a step forward last year and played pretty well. Had a little patch there where he didn't do much, but when he was on, you know, he's had something that nobody else has in his team, which is game breaking speed.
Yeah.
So nobody else in the team has that, plain and simple. So you have to have somebody like that on your team. I think you now have guys that are willing to go into the corners, and, like, the guys like Brandon Saad. I think Klim Kostin would be a guy like that to definitely put on the third line.
I agree.
But I don't want him to come on this team and be a fourth liner, though. That's my other
thing. No, I agree. Because I think that he's not the type of player that playing fourth line minutes does any good for. But again, if you're telling me that Klim Kostin can't make it into the top nine on this team, that's a problem.
I agree. So that's a lot of lineup decisions are still to be made. The Tarasenko thing is going to have, like you said, a ripple effect across the team.
Yes.
About what's going to happen. Because Buchnevich said he likes to play on the right since he's been in NHL. He said during the games, we made adjustments and I move over to the left side when the coach needs me to. But overall, it seems like he likes the right side. So that's where Tarasenko plays. You really don't want to have him move to the left side. And let's say Tarasenko's still with the team. You might have Buchnevich playing on the left side with Shen and Tarasenko to start the year. That's a possibility at this point, honestly.
I mean, it is. I don't know, man. Like, I'm so torn because I can't believe that I'm going to say I don't want Vladimir Tarasenko on this team. Because if Vladimir Tarasenko is healthy, we all know what he can do. I so fear having a locker room that is not in a good mental place that at some point I'm just like, man, Doug, if he wants out, just get him out. Like, take what you can. I know we all want Matthew Tkachuk. We all want Matthew Tkachuk. And I think, you know, if he would accept a trade at Buffalo, we'd even say, hey, how about Tarasenko and a prospect for Jack Eichel? But those are, I mean, that's pie in the sky, best case scenario. At this point, if somebody would take him and the full contract and give us back something serviceable in return, I would be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, just at this point, you got to figure out what's in the hopper exactly. And according to JR's article, it's like nobody wants like Vladimir Tarasenko. They just need to get rid of him because he's waited too long and he's diminished his value so much. So Armstrong messed up and did all this.
I don't think that's true.
I think that quote, per sources/per Tarasenko's camp.
Right. I don't think Doug's mishandled this at all. I think that the issue is, and look, you and I both deal with dollars and cents on a daily basis. And if I'm running a hockey team right now and someone says, hey, do you want Vladimir Tarasenko? Sure, man, I want Vladimir Tarasenko. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that this is a guy that's had three surgeries on the same shoulder in 26 months.
Yep.
And had four goals in 20-something games last year. Like, I don't know what I would be getting. And because of that, why would any team pay a king's ransom for a player that you don't know how good he's going to be? I mean, it is a gamble. And with the flat cap and a lot of these teams, especially the contenders, having cap problems, I get you're only taking it on for 2 years, but still, like, that's a lot of money. A lot of money.
Yeah. So,
and that's the problem. That's dollars and cents the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the 2019 season and Vladimir Tarasenko said he wanted out of St. Louis, he'd have been traded that week. To whatever team he wanted because he was healthy and people watched him play. But this ain't then. This is now.
Oh, I know. It's interesting dynamic, which we were pretty shocked that's still going on. Maybe it'll be resolved by the end. Who knows? So one more bit of Blues news before we sort of wrap things up here is Dakota Joshua signed. So a 1-year, two-way deal. So a kid that I thought had no chance of making a dent in the NHL. Gets a goal in his first game, plays pretty well, and has a chance to make the fourth line, in my opinion. So that'll be interesting if he can do it. I think he's a perfect prototype player for the fourth line. So we'll see what he gets. So that leaves the Blues with a couple of free agents, which we talked about, which is Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, Vince Dunn. Not Vince Dunn. Vince Dunn is not here. Zach Sanford. I wish it was Vince Dunn instead of Zach Sanford, but that's just near here nor there. So Zach Sanford, five arbitration. We'll see what happens there. Let's see. Any other Blues news this week? So I'm trying to, I scoured not everything and looked around. The free agent thing is so huge and a lot of moves. For example, I tried to go through the only thing really central division wise, Arizona's taking over every bad contract for picks right now they can. So that makes me think that they're throwing the flag up. They're done. Yeah. Like they're basically saying, hey, we need to rebuild bad because we basically squandered everything, made a ton of bad signings and trades and then Bill Armstrong is trying to rebuild the stockpile on a, you know, basically small budget. But Chicago's trying their best, man.
Boy, they are. Boy, they really are.
So Marc-Andre Fleury is in. Also, on top of that, unfortunately, we get Seth Jones.
Seth Jones
in Chicago. So he signed, they basically trade a couple of guys. They trade their big draft pick, swap a first rounders and another first rounder for Seth Jones, who signs a big deal, gets to play with his brother who was traded there. They signed Jake McCabe. So they basically are kind of thinking, we might, that makes me think that the whole Jonathan Taves, like, he was obviously very sick last year and hope maybe he still gets to come back this year. I think they kind of realize that they got rid of like Duncan Keith, and they kind of think we don't have too much longer with like Patrick Kane left, and we don't have too much in the cupboard anymore. So we might have one more big shot at this. So we're going to just bring in everybody. The Seth Jones thing, if he can get back there, that's a great signing for them. He get back to being the Norris Trophy guy he was a couple years ago. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Like, I will say that for sure. That does, if he gets back to where he was, which is why I won the Blues to go there, that would have been a great signing for the Blues.
I agree.
That's a lot of stuff they gave up for him. So that's on them. So they're hoping that he pans out for the next 8 years.
That $9 million a year.
$9.5 million, man. $9.5 million. That is a ton of cash. So they are handing out, they got rid of a bad contract in Duncan Keith, and they immediately hand another one out, in my opinion. As much as I like Seth Jones, it's just hard for this. Say, hey, let's sign him. So, all right, with that, we will wrap it up there. So if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's at Blues Hockey NHL.
I'm at Hossapalooza.
And if you want to get a hold of us on Facebook, on Twitter, just look up Blues Hockey Podcast. Another way to find all that is also on our website, is blueshockeypodcast.net or .com, whichever one you want to use. And you'll find a lot of links there, links to all social media that is mentioned, and also links to download the podcast, which is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Audible, Pocket Cast, any other podcast app that you can think of, and also available on the website as well, blueshockeypodcast.net, and also Anchor, which is another one. So you have a ton of places you can listen to. So go ahead and listen to us on all those platforms. Before we wrap it up, let's also talk about our sponsor. So first off, we'll talk about Rockstar Taco Shack, and thanks to Will for once again sponsoring the show. Their big opening for the South City one is still in the works, so we'll give you guys we know when that happens, you guys will know. But congrats to him. He had a huge thing. I don't know if everybody saw, if you follow them on the socials, his Rockstar Dust, which we've talked about on this show, is officially on Schnucks shelves. So go to your local Schnucks, pick up some Rockstar Dust. You don't have to go out to Newtown again.
Don't gotta go to Newtown no more.
No,
go to Schnucks.
Go to Schnucks and get your Rockstar Dust. But you want to get the food, you still gotta go to Newtown and soon in South City. So we'll let you know about that. So congrats to Will and the crew over there on having all the Rockstar Dust at your local Schnucks. And speaking of local Schnucks, that's where you can also find Lucky Lolas. So Lucky Lolas, they have their sweet jalapeno heat and their salmon rub are both in Schnucks. And also at Kenrick's. So go to Kenrick's and they have their brats there as well. So you have a ton of different things you can get through Lucky Lolas. You can follow them on their website, luckylolas.com. And you can find all the information, including recipes and a bunch of good stuff there. Finally, we'll wrap it up with DraftKings. DraftKings, use the code THPN and you can put some money down on the Olympics. I don't know if they do it on the Olympics. I haven't really looked it up, honestly.
So that's, I'm sure, a great, they would. Question, because it's technically amateur. Well, I would say amateur Olympics, but you can bet on college sports too. I'm sure you can.
We'll,
I can't imagine that you couldn't bet on those.
So you can try to bet on the USA team on Tuesday, USA basketball, and see if they're going to win in their quarterfinals against the number 2 ranked team in the world, and see if they actually, since they lost like 3 games so far, something crazy like that. 3 out of 4 games to start.
That's because they're not a team.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of guys getting together playing basketball. So if you want to go bet on that and see how that game is, do that. Or you can wait till the season starts and bet on some Blues games. So use the code THPN. You get some bonus offers when you sign up at DraftKings today. So thanks again to Chris for coming on. Thanks to our guys at the Hockey Podcast Network for hosting the show. And hopefully we'll have some more news coming up soon, and it'll be great. Tarasenko news, maybe the Blues will sign another free agent because a couple of things are still lacking. We'll probably, if that comes to you, we'll do another show, and then I'll be honest, if there's news, we'll be here, and I'll try to find some. We'll find some content and stuff. Chris is in the middle of concert season. He literally just got back.
I did.
And we recorded real quick. And my schedule is getting crazy. So we're going to, before the season starts, it's just the summertime wrap up. So We'll do our best to be back with you again. But till next time, we'll see you guys.
See ya.